It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. On Wednesday, a group of Northwestern University football players took a significant step in its fight to receive pay, better benefits, and more rights for college athletes. A regional office of the National Labor Relations Board ruled that scholarship football players are employees with the right to unionize. The ruling extends to all scholarship athletes who play Division I FBS football or Division I basketball for private universities. Public schools, such as Pitt and Penn State, are governed by state labor organizations, but this ruling could eventually extend to the states. For its part, Pitt has issued a statement saying, quote, "We do not believe that treating student athletes as employees will be beneficial for the student," end quote. The players filed paperwork with the NLRB after voting to form the College Athletes Players Association. United Steelworkers, which is headquartered here in Pittsburgh, is paying all legal fees for the association. I'm joined now by phone by United Steelworkers President Leo Girard. Mr. Girard, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Glad to be on with you.
Also joining us is NFL agent Ralph Sindrich, who was twice named 100 Most Powerful in Sports by the Sporting News and is listed among the top NFL agents by Pro Football Weekly and USA Today. He is a former NFL player with New England and Houston and played collegiately at Pitt, and he is scheduled to join us shortly. Leo Girard, let me start with you. Why should college athletes be able to form a union?
I think first and foremost because they're employees now. We've demonstrated that at the labor board. In fact, on every criteria of how you define someone who's an employee, of the amount of time they work, under whose direction, are they paid, all of those criteria were made abundantly clear to the National Labor Relations Board. And on that basis, they're free to decide whether or not they want to join a union. And it would appear that not only have the players at Northwestern demonstrated that that's their desire, but I can tell you that we have many, many others who are asking for the same opportunity.
And who else is asking for
that? Well, I'm not
going
to do that till we actually make contact. And I can just tell you that a number of them have contacted us, and we've referred them to Ramogi Huma and his group at CAPA, which is Collegiate Athletes Players Association, which is the union that the players created for themselves.
Now, North,
we're simply helping them with logistics and legal support at this point.
Now, Northwestern is going to appeal this decision, and it is saying that those who receive athletic scholarships are there to be students first and foremost. What about that?
Well, I think the important thing then is to read the decision of the labor board, because when you read the decision of the labor board, it's very, very, very extremely clear that these collegiate athletes spend anywhere from 50 to 60 hours a week for most of the year in efforts to meet their athletic responsibilities to the school. And many of them don't get the opportunity even to graduate. The graduation rate, now I can say at Northwestern, it's a much better graduation rate than many of the other schools, but many, many don't even get to graduate. And if you read through the award, not only do they control their time in the sport, they control where they're going to live, they control what they can eat, they control what they're going to wear, they control when they can move off campus if they can. They control their regimen from early in the morning till early evening. And the award made it very clear that to maintain their scholarship, they've got to meet their athletic responsibilities, and they're dictated by the NCAA and the school.
Should all athletes be able to unionize, and how do you make it fair? What about other sports like baseball that produce significant revenue for colleges and universities in parts of the South or in warmer weather climates where they can play longer seasons, do well, and attract fans, which makes it then a very popular revenue sport?
Well, look, I think that the objective of the collegiate athletes is to have a voice at the table, and at this point, they're not talking about sort of what many of the news outlets are improperly reporting. They're not talking about wages at this point. but they are talking about a sufficient stipend so that they can have enough food to live on. In some cases, they'll get a food credit, but it's not enough. They want enough of a stipend so they can meet their needs. They want to get health coverage during the practice as well as the game. They want to get health coverage so that if they have major injuries, and one of the big issues is to have a seat at the table to talk about concussions. The NFL Players Association has negotiated some much improved concussion protection, as have NHL and the NBA and soccer. Many of them that are unionized sports have a seat at the table for folks to protect themselves on things like concussions. There's a study been done by Drexel University that indicated that close to 50% of the athletic trainers who were football have said that they've been ordered to send a concussed player back into the game by either an athletic director or a coach. And that isn't Kappa saying that or the steelworkers. That was an independent study by Drexel University. So the obviously this collegiate athletes want protection for health and safety. We saw the individual who badly broke his leg last year in the
college basketball.
Unless there was a strong voice from the Collegiate Athletes Association at the time, he might not have had medical coverage. And the Collegiate Athletes Association jumped on that, and they maintained that he's going to have medical coverage. Now, whether he plays basketball again or not, I don't know that. But clearly, from what he was doing, if he needs medical coverage for that for the rest of his life, he should have it.
We're talking with United Steelworkers President Leo Girard. The United Steelworkers, headquartered in Pittsburgh, is paying all of the legal fees for the association that has taken action to organize for better pay, benefits, and more rights for college athletes. These are a group of Northwestern University football players. And Leo Girard, when you talk about pay, when you talk about stipends for athletes, what is a fair number here? If we've heard figures like $2,000, $2,500 per year thrown out there. If that is not enough, and it's understandable why it wouldn't be, what is enough?
Look, I think that's subject to negotiation, because if you're in, I'll make some places up. If you're in sunny California, you might not need as well heated dorm, but you might need air conditioned dorm. If you're in a high expense region of the country, I think that those are things that should be discussed, and the players should have the right to discuss that with their school. And what part of that can the school supply versus what part of that would be subjected to sort of the school paying the freight. I know that in some schools the players will get a meal ticket, but the meal ticket isn't nearly enough for a player that's putting in 40 or 50 hours a week training to sustain themselves on. And in fact, one of the things that helped create the Collegiate Athletes Association with Ramogi Huma was that Ramogi lost his scholarship when he got an injury, and one of his close friends got suspended for three games because he accepted two bags of groceries from a family friend. So those kind of things are subject to the bargaining, and it shows how patently unfair it is. And the NCAA can't cry poor when they'll allow a team to pay another team $4.5 million or more to cancel a coach's contract, where they'll buy it out, and then that coach will go to the new school and get a $4 or $5 million contract with all kinds of bonuses and the ability for that coach to do shoe commercials and car commercials and anything, and earn, much above the $5 million he might have signed for. When the NCAA lets schools do that, when an assistant coach makes, $900,000 a year, when the fact that the money is running rampant through the system for everybody but the players, that means that the players have to have the same kind of voice at the table. And in sort of to pay them the respect they're due. They recognize that they're getting a scholarship, but they also want to have the ability to graduate. So they want to have sufficient ability to get tutors and to help them and to be able to arrange their schedule so they can do both the football and the school.
What about athletes in non-revenue sports? When you say that the athletes deserve a piece of the of all this money being made, there's endorsement deals, and we're getting a little short on time, but I wanted you to address a sport like maybe lacrosse or you know, soccer.
I think many of the same rules have to apply. That if you're going to give a person a scholarship, make sure they understand all the details of the scholarship. Make sure that they know what would happen if they were to, and how they could end up losing their scholarship, and let them have a seat at the table of how to negotiate that. Right now, you can have people that lose their scholarship on a swim team because they change coaches. You can have people that the same thing in a lacrosse team. I have a friend in town whose daughter plays lacrosse in a school in California. She got a scholarship, but she's worried that if she got hurt, she'd lose that scholarship next year. So those kinds of things, I think the student athletes, the collegiate athletes, need to have a seat at the table, whether that is the same as what we'll call the high revenue sports is another issue, but they should all have a seat at the table over their scholarships, over their health and safety, over their medical expenses, over their ability to get an education. I mean, I also know a friend of mine whose daughter played golf and got cut from the team because she got injured and lost her scholarship.
So you're saying if non-revenue sports, women athletes, all should all fall under this umbrella. And unfortunately, we've come to time. But United Steelworkers President Leo Girard, thank you so much for joining us to talk
My
about
pleasure.
This issue. And also NFL agent Ralph Sindrich, scheduled to join us. Sorry we couldn't get a hold of him. Monday on Essential Pittsburgh, we'll talk about opening day for the Pirates. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Have a great weekend, everyone.